The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Olive Branch Pet Hospital, and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And we're jumping for joy because we got Mac in the house with Pet, P-E-T Talk with Dr. Mark. How about that? We got a new name for a new show right here on Pep Talk. Dr. Mark Sprayberry, we're so excited to have you. We are jumping for joy. How about that?
Oh, I'm jumping for joy. Good morning.
That's kind of corny, I know. But
it's great. Good to be back.
And he brought Mac with him. So describe Mac so people can know what Mac looks like and the whole deal.
Mac is a big...
Oop, hang on. Whoop. Go ahead.
Mac is a big chunk of chocolate English lab.
Oh.
About 90 pounds of chocolate English lab.
No, so there's got to be a story about how you came to meet and be the mom of Mac.
I don't usually say owner. He thinks I gave birth to him. So.
No doubt.
Oh. No, he came from Ohio.
Oh, okay.
And he's mama's boy.
Okay, I can tell already. So we have Dr. Mark Sprayberry here, and I'm so happy to have you here. We have so much to talk about. It was really fun last week, our first show. Yeah. And so what did you get any feedback from anyone? Did people talk to you about being a radio star yet?
It was fun. I didn't realize my staff was listening, and then I'm thinking, well, aren't you supposed to be seeing patients and taking care of them? So I think they're all gathered around and listening. So, but yeah, I had a big time last time and whatnot. You know, after 30 years, it's fun to come in here and just talk about it and the funny stuff, because it's every day something crazy's happening.
I would think that there would be no shortage of entertainment. In fact, I was thinking about that when you were here last week, because I thought, you know, a veterinarian like hospital would be a great premise for a sitcom.
Oh boy!
Wouldn't it? All the not just the clients, but then the animals and the people, the staff. I mean, when you think about the dynamics, should be very interesting.
You know, there was a show called Trading Spaces. I'm not sure if it's still going on, but
I remember that show.
Yeah, they did somebody on the west side of town did a thing, and the producer kept her pets at the Play and Stay, my boarding facility, during the time they were shooting.
Uh-huh.
And she came to him and says, "You know, Dr. Sprayberry, we're starting to do this, you know, reality stuff, and we'd like to do a show about your office." I said, no, I'm not going to air my drama of my office on national TV.
Oh.
But it was pretty funny, you know, and we're really busy, so, you know, it wasn't really a good time, but it was fun. It was, I was very, you know,
well, listen, after 30 years, you should just start writing down all the stories. You've got 20 episodes already in your head, I'm sure.
Oh, it's every day.
But we should get to business here, because Dr. Mark Sprayberry is the owner and runs Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Pet Daycare. So let's talk a little bit about that for our listeners maybe that do not know you, haven't met you before. Tell us about your veterinarian skills and what you offer there, and just a little bit of what y'all do.
Well, I've been a veterinarian for 30 years. I've owned this practice in Pensacola for 23.
Wow.
We are full service. I spent an extra year doing surgery, and so I do a lot of different surgeries that most general practices do not do. So we do some referrals on from those. But we're full service. We have a boarding facility called Play and Stay, and then we have a daycare. Where people drop them off for the day.
Oh, nice. So you have a long-term boarding, but then you have the daycare.
Yes.
That's great to know about.
Mm-hmm. And I'm on property. There's no one else in town, to my knowledge, that has this kind of facility where the veterinarians actually own property.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 4.2 acres and about 15,000 square feet under roof between the clinic and the boarding facility. Yes. So we've been there, and we've been doing it for a long time. And we have a great staff, just a great staff.
And they're listening.
Oh,
kudos to the staff.
I think they are. They better get back to work.
We're watching you.
Anyway, we're at 4220 North Davis. We're across from Bailey's Farmers Market. And we're really, really having a good time taking care of people's pets. And going to continue to do.
Excellent. Well, you got to love what you do, and I'm sure you've seen just about everything. But one of the things that you had mentioned to me, that it's springtime, people are spring cleaning, they're taking things out of their cabinets, they're Tell us a little bit about things to look out for, the toxins and things that can happen this time of year that we need to be make sure our pets aren't exposed to.
Well, if you own a counter surfer, is what we call, you can really get in trouble.
A counter surfer, as in a cat?
Yeah, or a dog. The top five toxins, as listed by ASPCA, are, and I'm going to go through these just for a couple of minutes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Human medicine, you know, ibuprofen, Tylenol, you know, those kind of things. You know, if you have food on the counter, various things are not good for pets. The next category is grapes, raisins, chewing gum with xylitol in it.
Ooh, wouldn't chewing gum in general be bad?
It can be. Yeah, it can be. The third is chocolate because it has caffeine and theobromine in it, which is toxic to the liver. Warfarin is a like a rat poison. That would be a very bad thing.
Gosh.
And finally, marijuana is one that has, in the past couple of years or so, has increased 448% of the toxins that are seen by poison control centers.
You're kidding.
No. And, you know, I'm all for the party and all, but, you know, dogs don't party with the same stuff that humans do, so you really got to keep them. And they get into the stash, and what happens is if you don't catch it pretty quick, you know, they can start seizing and tremors and all those kind of things. And so it's best to own any of these things to catch it early. The take-home message on these things are peroxide is your friend. Hydrogen peroxide, like you have in your cabinet for cuts and wounds. You can pour a little bit down their throat or put a little bit in a syringe, and it's about a milliliter per pound, but with a maximum dose of about 2 ounces, okay? And that will get them to throw up.
Wow.
And that's the main thing you want to do is get them to throw it up.
Okay.
Get it out of their system, because otherwise it's going to involve giving activated charcoal and sorbitol and some of those things at an emergency veterinarian or your veterinarian's office.
That's a great tip. I've never heard that before.
But there's two things, and some other things too, antifreeze, batteries, coins, like, you know, pennies, the copper, plants, all those things are not good for pets. But the take-home message is the peroxide. That's the big thing. And catching it early and doing the right thing, and usually it'll come out, everything will be all right. Now, there's a caveat on this that if something burns going down or is sharp, you do not try to get them to throw that up.
Ooh, okay? Yes, yeah.
And I've got a case here, a funny case I'll tell you. I was in vet school at Florida, and this dog came in, and this was before kind of cell phones, so I'm dating myself.
It's okay. You're in good company.
In early 90s. And so this pit bull, wonderful dog. The lady was cutting up a pot roast on her counter, and the phone rang, so she went to the other room. And when she came back, the pot roast and the knife was gone.
Oh, no.
So they rushed it into the vet school, and the blade of the knife was in the esophagus, and the handle was in the stomach.
Oh, no. Poor thing.
You know, and the dog was wagging its tail like nothing was wrong at all.
Oh, no.
So one of my surgery professors went in and took it out, and we saw him later, and I said, well, Dr. Ellison, what happened to the pot roast? And he went, oh, I left it in there. I thought he deserved it after having to go through all this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so wow. So that's the kind of stuff. But we, you know, other things, clothing, underwear, you know, socks, towels.
I had a dog that loved to get into the trash can in the bathroom.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. With the Kleenexes.
Oh, boy.
That was a puppy.
All kinds of girly stuff. You got to keep
good
that
smells,
off the floor.
Good smells, all kinds of smells.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then I had another dog that loved Hershey's Kisses.
Yeah.
And my mother used to keep them on a bowl back in the day on the little coffee table. And this dog would take the Hershey's Kiss. Oh, I think Mac might like Hershey's Kisses. And then I'd found out later that chocolate was really poisonous for dogs. And I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well,
because the dog loved the chocolate.
The dark chocolate has more concentration of theobromine and caffeine than the lighter, less expensive chocolate, shall we say. But the whole key and the whole take-home is get it out of them as soon as you can.
So the hydrogen peroxide, that is a really good tip.
Yeah, that is. And it'll save you, you know, always call your veterinarian. They're probably going to say, well, if it happened in the past 30 minutes, go ahead and get some peroxide. If you can't get here, go ahead and get some peroxide, and let's get it out of them. And that's the number one thing you can do.
Okay. Well, you're listening to Pet Talk, Pet, P-E-T, Talk, with Meg and with Dr. Mark, who is Dr. Mark Sprayberry with Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Pet Daycare. If you have some questions about your dog or cat or something about his what he does with the daycare and what the up services they provide, text it on in at 850-437-1620. That's why he's here. He's an expert, 30 years of veterinary experience. So I suspect there aren't any questions that he probably doesn't have. If he doesn't have the answer, he knows who will. So,
correct.
So that's very important information about the countertops, because I used to have a dog that could just leap right up there. Oh, it, not just exclusive to cats.
You know, and it happens in people's blood pressure medicine, and ibuprofen is a big one.
Oh,
all
those
things are bad things. Mm-hmm. Batteries. You know, so if you have small children, just make sure they keep their toys. I removed 15 Barbie dresses out of a dog one time.
Barbie dresses?
15.
Oh, my God. 15 of them?
And the dog had eaten a bag of food, too, so we had to go in
oh
there.
Oh, my gosh.
Chelsea, one of my nurses, she and I were in there, like, freaking out. What has this dog done? And we're in there scooping all this food out of its stomach, you know.
Oh, gosh.
And then we started pulling these dresses, and I think, what are these things? And then I think there was some girly monthly stuff in there, too.
Oh,
so
no.
It was a crazy time.
Oh,
but, you know,
no.
that dog I had to go into about three times.
Really?
Two or three more times to get more stuff out of it. It's just unbelievable. They'll eat anything.
That's wild.
And a lot of that is boredom.
True.
Or it could be anxiety.
Yes, so that's a big thing, getting enough exercise, because that's the trick. I learned that the hard way.
Yes.
And the minute I start taking that puppy for long walks to the way they were exhausted, end of chewing problem.
Yeah, and the daycare, you know, whether you do it yourself or we do it for you. I mean, the purpose of the daycare is, and my dogs included, is, you know, we get them in there and wear them out. We play with them, put them through the obstacle course. And then when you pick them up, they go home, eat dinner, and go to bed.
Which is great.
Which is what mom and dads want.
Right, that's right, right, that's right. But it's good for them, too, for the socialization.
Correct.
And just not be stuck in a home by themselves all day long. Because that is when they get, you're absolutely right, that's when they get bored. Pillows seem to be a favorite.
Correct. If they can
couch
chew on,
pillows.
If they can chew on anything, they can chew on it, and they will.
Do you have any thoughts about training and how you can help your dog when you first bring a dog home and that kind of thing?
Well, you know, you've got to make sure they get their initial vaccines, because they're going to be exposed to other people, other dogs. You know, like in a group training class, you might want to make sure they're not going to catch anything.
Right.
A puppy is kind of like a newborn. You know, you don't take it from the hospital and take it to the mall.
Or the dog park.
Or anywhere like that.
Mm-hmm.
I always tease, you know, you don't want to take them to church either. Just, you know, these old ladies breathing on them, you know, and all. But truly, you got to be a little careful. But early is good. And usually you can teach them to sit, stay, come. It's a big one, because if they start heading toward the street and you say come or whatever your word you use, you want them to stop and turn around and come back. And fortunately, I don't see as many car accidents anymore, you know, hit by cars and stuff as much anymore.
That's good. That's good to hear. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But early is good. Just like your children, you want to start early.
Mm-hmm.
And they can do well. Now, there's a lot of great trainers in this town. Great trainers. And getting a little bit of professional help to go beyond sit, stay, and come is really a good idea, too. And it's fun for the dog. And the dog likes it, because they like to have a job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they
and
do.
And it makes them a lot more calm, makes them a lot more confident.
Mm-hmm.
Really highly recommend, you know, training.
Training from an early time. That's really
yes,
good.
Ma'am.
So what are some of the things that you're seeing now that it's springtime? What are some things that, you know, pet owners can look out for?
Well, we're itching. Everybody's itching.
Well, I'm itching. Do I need to come to you?
All of us, too. Myself included.
Can you help me?
Exactly.
I'm sneezing a lot.
Yeah. Well, and we're seeing a lot of that, too. And a lot of it's pollen, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, you look at your car, and you wash your car, and then tomorrow, you haven't done anything. So we're seeing a lot of that. As always, it's better to be to see your veterinarian sooner than later, because if you get ahead of the game a little bit, then it's not as bad, or it doesn't cost as much down the road treating. There's a shot called Cytopoint.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, it's a monoclonal antibody. It kind of came from the COVID, you know, era. You know? And what it does is it inhibits an inflammatory mediator. Your immune system kicks out when it's offended by pollen or grasses, trees, whatever. Your immune system's the issue is overreacting.
Mm-hmm.
So it inhibits the inflammatory mediator that causes the itching, the scratching, the chewing, and all. And it's really safe. And we've gotten to where we use that a lot more than we do steroids anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So is that something for humans?
Well, yeah, I mean, human, yeah, exactly.
Kidding. Yeah. I'm just kidding. But you were just pointing at Max, and Max had that.
Yeah.
And does that help
twice
a lot?
A year. Absolutely.
Twice a year. Okay.
Absolutely, yeah.
It really helps. And
what's the name of that again?
It's called Cytopoint. It's C-Y-T-O point.
Cytopoint. Okay, so write that down.
Yeah, a great, great thing. And your veterinarian will know about it. It's really a great. Now, I still use steroids. Mm-hmm. Regularly when I need to, mm-hmm. Like a real bad hot spot they've chewed up.
Oh,
you know,
that's
really nasty.
See those in the summer sometimes, right?
Yes. In my experience, you know, a 2 or 3 day steroid shot will help that stop that itching. You get the antibiotics going, and it just seems to heal a lot quicker. And also, owners get to sleep that night.
Mm-hmm.
And I always try to focus. I focus on the dog, but I always kind of take in consideration about the pet owner. Because if mom ain't happy, nobody happy.
Oh, right.
And I see that in my pet moms.
Yes, of course. Talking with Dr. Mark Sprayberry with Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Pet Daycare. Getting some tips here for springtime. We just talked, if you just joined us, we were just talking. We're calling this Pet Talk, which I love. A little play on the words here with Dr. Mark. And we were just talking about some of the toxins to avoid. We're talking a little bit about allergies. Surely you have some questions about your dog or cat, maybe something that's come up for you recently. Go ahead and text it in at 850-437-1620, and we'll do our best to get to your question this morning. So what are some of the other things we need to be looking out for this season?
Well, as it gets hot, of course, you got to be careful. We live in Florida. We're the Sunshine State.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're sensitive, too. They can be sensitive, especially your large breed dogs. They can overheat pretty easy. Or your, as I call, your smushed up face breed dogs, your bulldogs, your Bostons, your French bulldogs, your pugs.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't. As many people know, you know, dogs do not have sweat glands. They do have them on their paws, but they don't have them on their skin like we do.
Mm-hmm.
So their air conditioning is, they pant.
I can hear Mac now a little bit in the battle. If y'all can hear that in the background, yeah. Panting a little bit. It's kind of warm in the studio this morning.
Mm-hmm. And that's something you want to be, you know, watch out for, because mm-hmm. heat stroke is a very bad problem.
So water is important. Having water readily correct. Available all day long, right?
Correct. And just be sensitive when it gets really hot out that you... And, of course, obviously, do not leave your pet in the car for any reason
mm-hmm.
or, you know, somewhere like that.
Yeah, that's a really important. You see that every once in a while, and I go a little nuts when I see that. So.
Yes, yes.
That's not good. What about cats and allergies?
Well, they have it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, cats, as I said before, are from another planet.
No question about it.
You know. And,
no question about it.
You know, that's not my words. That's a pretty, pretty well-known cat veterinarian in the country, mm-hmm. Susan Little, and she says, yeah, you know, first of all, cats, she'll do a lecture and says, all right, folks, first of all, I'm one short of being the crazy cat lady. She has four. I guess five is
oh
her threshold.
Oh, my gosh.
And then she says, and they're from another planet. So, I mean, yeah, but cats have allergies, too.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar.
Mm-hmm.
So we tend to treat them more with steroids because Cytopoint is only in dogs.
Okay, that's very helpful. So now this time of year too, this tempting because you know you've got all the fruit and you got spring vegetables and things like that. Can you talk a little bit about dog food and cat food and things to avoid, especially as we get into this season now?
Well, you know, your commercial dog foods and cat foods are pretty well balanced,
mm-hmm.
Regardless of the brand that you use. The top three I recommend are Science Diet, Royal Canin, and Purina Pro Plan. That's the top three
mm-hmm.
I recommend. There was a study done last year. I haven't seen it published, but it was an unsponsored meeting I went to. In other words, there wasn't a company there sponsoring the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of the experts who were veterinary college professors who are boarded, they're veterinarians like me, but then they're boarded in nutrition, got up there and were talking about this study, and they found that if you feed one of those three foods, 2.8 times less chance of developing doggy dementia. And I see dementia every day in my office.
Really?
Yeah, it was incredible to hear the story. And, you know, the findings have not totally come out, but this was something that was early on that they were kind of telling us about at this meeting.
Huh. I'm not even sure I've ever heard of doggy dementia. How do you know if your dog has it?
Well, it's just you see it a lot in older pets.
Mm-hmm.
And if your dog is, you know, wandering around the backyard, it's lived there all of its life, and then it can't, you know, get into the back into the house on its own. If it goes and stands in a closet or stares in a corner of a room, that's another telltale sign. If their behavior totally gets off on, you know, they're not eating the same, they're walking in circles constantly. Mm. All those things can be a reason to think they may have a little, we call it cognitive dysfunction syndrome, mm-hmm. but it's we say doggy dementia or Alzheimer's because that's what people are familiar.
Okay. Hearing. Well, we've got a caller that just called in, and if you have a question, you can always call or text it in at 850-437-1620. So this is Pet Talk with Dr. Mark. Dave's on the line. Dave, you said you had a question for Dr. Mark?
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning.
The question is about cat food. I'm an advocate for dry cat food, but my wife feeds, we've got three cats, and she feeds them canned food every day. I think that's bad for them. I'd like to hear your opinion on that.
Okay, Dave, I'm not a marriage counselor here person, okay? I was married for 36 years.
She's not here.
Okay,
oh,
good.
She's out of the house. That's why I felt safe to make the phone call.
Okay, cool.
I hope she doesn't have the radio on, though.
Okay, so we can do bro time here, okay? So, yeah, it's bro code. First of all, the difference between canned food and dry food is canned food is around 80% water, plus or minus, okay? My cat only likes dry food. I've tried to give canned food just as a treat. She doesn't like it. Canned food is okay as long as it's good quality, as well as dry food. You know, I worry about in cats with males, especially having urinary obstructions from crystals. That usually comes from less expensive brands, in my experience. But the top three that I recommend, I've never removed a bladder stone or a unblocked a kitty if you feed one of those three foods. Now, the food industry is really, Science Diet and these companies do a lot of research, and then some of the off-brand foods tend to copy the research and add it into their production. So we really don't see a whole lot of what we used to see 30 years ago, and that's a good thing. But as far as your kitties are concerned, you know, one or the other, it doesn't really hurt them. Dry food is fine, too. It may make the litter box smell a little worse if you feed canned food, in my experience.
Correct, sir.
Yeah, and so that, I knew you were getting at that. Mm-hmm. That's what you want to know, but, you know.
No, that wasn't really it. It was about the health issue. Mm-hmm. I had a cat that died. I was deployed overseas, and my father-in-law was watching a cat and fed it something that they later recalled, and the cat died.
Oh.
Yeah, so that bothered me. So mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's why I take it personally about the canned versus dry stuff.
I understand. I mean, you know, I tell people if you want to put a little topper on the dry, that's fine. And I do that myself with my dogs, but not my cat. Okay? But it's really not bad.
Okay. We've got to run. We've got about a minute left, and we do have another caller on the line. So thanks so much for David for calling in. I'm going to try to see if I can get this caller in real quick here. Mm-hmm. Okay, can you ask your question real quick? We've only got about a minute left.
Yeah, so I got a long-haired Chihuahua, and he loves to eat the poop out in the yard. Besides just picking it up more religiously, is there anything we can do to prevent that?
Oh, boy.
That's more than a 30-second answer, I think.
I'll say this. Your veterinarian will have some little something for them to chew on or eat that will help make their poop taste bad. You know, it doesn't taste bad already. And that will help. But the thing is, if you stop using it, a lot of times it'll come back.